Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Sharon Keats. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author, get an introduction to their work, perhaps a glimpse into their lives. We ask them what prompts them to write, and we have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. And today, we're very pleased to have Sharon Keats with us. Sharon lived in Toronto until the late 80s when she moved to Port Hope, where she still lives. She has a BMUS from Queen's University and has been a professional actress since 1977. She was an original member of the Juno Award-winning trio Short Turn and has had a successful performing career in musical theatre. She has acted for Northumberland Players under special contracts, her latest being Menopositive the Musical. But she got tired of auditioning and depending on others for work, so she decided to make her own and wrote her book, On a Windy Day, Wendy Blew Away. Working with two friends, she put together the story, a colouring book, and a CD in 2012. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you.
I believe you wrote the original verses for On a Windy Day some years before you decided to put them in a book. Could you tell us about the origins of the story?
It's actually six poems.
The six poems that make up the book?
Yep. I was working north of Port Hope in Ward 2, which is now the municipality of Port Hope, and we didn't have garbage pickup. We had a transfer station where I worked, and one day they just started coming out of my head. So I wrote them down, truly. It had nothing to do with garbage or recycling. It's all new material. And then I put them away, and that was somewhere around 1999. Stuck them on a shelf, carried on with my life, and thought after I had taken a break from theater, I tried to get back for almost 3 years now, and I did get tired. I am fatigued with going into Toronto, depending on other people to hire me for something. So I thought, pull those back out. Showed them to my friend Laurie Rockman, who was local here at one time. So she did the illustrations to color for each poem with a space where the child can create their own. And my friend Kirk Elliott, who is a composer-performer in Toronto, we used his studio. So the poems have been read, but they've been treated with sound effects and voices, and they're all different, and I'm thrilled. And it was printed at Paperworks in Port Hope.
So apart from the recording studio, it's all a local production.
Yes.
Did you do the recording yourself, or is it a number of people who did the recording?
It's all me except for the Jimmy Stewart interpretation, and if you want to know about that, you have to buy a book. Because the CD comes in the front cover, so.
Now that your project is complete, what age group do you think this is geared at? How does the package present?
I made a flyer for the book launch at Furby House, which I plastered downtown Port Hope with, and I said that the project was for children from 3 to 93 because they're quite thoughtful and they're funny, and you can be thoughtful and funny at 3 or 93. You know, maybe not adolescents, but it's an interesting read for anybody. And listen, mostly. The CD is my pride, because that's my background, vocal and music. I love to tell stories. I wouldn't say I love to talk, but that's just where I come from, a stage before life, pre-life.
So if the sound part of it is so important to you, do you think of this book more as a series of spoken songs or as songs, a voice oral thing rather than a written book? Which one do you think is the winner here?
I don't know that I could say, because they're both different. At some point, a kid, assuming it's a kid who's coloring, is going to want to sit. And if they're learning to read, they're going to want to read. I think in a way the CD, it's hard. It's a double project. And adults might get the humor.
Well, humor for adults is always a good thing with kids' books anyway, because then the adult gets some pleasure while they're reading to the child. So I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
I think it has to appeal to adults because they're paying for it most of the time.
Why did you write the book in verse?
I don't know. I can't tell you. They just came into my head because being a musical person, meter is a very natural thing for me. I had written, my neighbor had told me about snooping for Christmas presents and almost being caught. So my first project was a story. Maybe we'll have that next year. Same time next year. I'll see you, Gwyn. I don't know. It just happened. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I didn't have an answer. It was just in my head.
Well, perhaps you could read us something from the book.
I could read you something from the book. Now, all of these have something behind them, but Muriel is the less complicated one. The others you really have to have a listen to. And also, I tend not to spit as much when I'm doing Muriel because some of the voices are kind of tricky. All right, this is about Muriel. Muriel, oh Muriel, your cookies are so sweet. Muriel, dear Muriel, what do you like to eat?
I like my Brussels sprouts, says she, when they are very hot, and sometimes I will have my broccoli right out of the pot.
Muriel, oh Muriel, your pies are just divine. We love to see your jars of jam all cooling in a line.
I think I get your point, she said, but tell me, can't you see the bliss of corn upon the cob or fresh-picked zucchini?
I simply love those sweet green peas and turnips in a mash, or potatoes, carrots, onions, all made up into hash.
I cannot quite describe to you my rapture over beans and how my heart begins to beat when I sit down to greens. So, come and have some dinner soon, for I'm sure you'll be able to see past those desserts in favor of the vegetable.
That was delightful. And it really is enhanced with the voice that you bring from your acting. Do you think that acting will spark other things, maybe a script for children or something else?
I don't know. I mean, the acting was just a natural thing for me to do. We're all creative in different ways. Some of them become more public than others. I would like to, I'm actually looking into someone to illustrate the Christmas story, which I'd love to tell you about, but I'm not going to. And who knows from there? I mean, your life can change on a dime. You just wait and see what comes out of my head again.
Have you ever written anything or considered writing anything for adults?
No. No, I never thought I'd ever be a writer, period. And I did the St. Mark's Christmas Bazaar last Saturday, and in their list I was called an author, and I thought, wow, hey. And it just didn't occur to me, I'm just me.
Well, just you. I think we'll take a moment now and listen to one of the tracks from your CD that has all the sound effects and the music accompaniment and so on, so that listeners can get the full effect of what your CD and the book together are like. And then after that, we'll take a short break.
It was a very windy day when little Wendy blew away. The dust was swirling everywhere. Her hat took off into the air. With papers flying all around, her feet came right up off the ground.
Woo-hoo.
Way up into the sky she flew. She even lost her new blue shoe.
Uh-oh, Mom's gonna kill me.
It was a big, bright, sunny day. It almost took her breath away. The air was cool and oh so clear. White puffy clouds seemed very near. The autumn leaves were zipping by, and all the birds she met said hi.
Harry, who is this bird with no wings? I don't recognize the species.
She's not one of us.
She smiled at a startled face while floating past a high up place.
In all my days, I never seen nothing like it. 20 floors up and there's a young girl at my window?
But when she finally looked down, she had to squint to see the ground. The people looked so awfully small. Tall buildings were not tall at all. Now, to be fair, you must agree that Wendy might feel uneasy. It is one of those scary things to be in air and not have wings. At last the blustery wind died down, and little Wendy touched the ground. She caught her breath and looked around to see if her hat could be found. She saw it and her new blue shoe lying beside the paving crew.
There you go, ducks. It's just got a bit of tar on it, that's all.
But now she could not hesitate. She ran for school or she'd be late. But wait, was that a little breeze stirring the tops of all the trees? Was there a chance the wind would blow and up again she'd go? Uh-oh. She put her hand up to her hat. She'd better keep a hold of that. For on a very windy day, your hat and you could blow away.
Well, thank you. I think we'll take a short break.
Okay.